The Simper Dogging Podcast is proud to present Dogging Tuesday. These episodes are a lighthearted look behind the scenes of Simper Dogging and are recorded live every other Tuesday on the Simper Dogging Podcast Facebook page. With featured guests, listener interaction, and good old-fashioned conversation, these Dogging Tuesday episodes are fun for all canine fanciers. Be sure to follow the Simper Dogging Facebook page and join us live on our next Dogging Tuesday recording. The Simper Dogging Podcast is proudly presented to you by Froggy Bottom Outdoors. Froggy Bottom Outdoors is the newest outdoor and hunting supply, habitat management, and livestock feed provider in the Midwest. With a wide variety of products, a unique business model, and a dedicated team of individuals who are eager to provide their customers with an unparalleled shopping experience, you will not have to search any further than Froggy Bottom Outdoors. With brands such as Garmin, Yoder Nylon, Banks Hunting Blinds, Razor Hunting Gear, Purina Mills, Kalmbach Feeds, Inuksha, Real World Products, and many more, Froggy Bottom Outdoors has you covered from the farm to the woods. Visit froggybottomoutdoors.com today and follow them on Facebook to see how they can help you. Not finding what you're looking for online? No problem. Feel free to give the store a call at 765-330-2098. The team at Froggy Bottom Outdoors is excited to get to know you and would be glad to answer any questions you may have. All right, guys, we're officially starting Dogging Tuesday right now. Get rid of all the other stuff we just said. Now's when we're starting. Miss Lauren, how are you today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Wonderful. Wonderful. What's new since we talked to you? Anything good?
I mean, life's always good, but there honestly not much is new.
Oh, man. Well, you were the featured guest on last Friday's podcast, and I've got to tell you, I really think that was probably one of our best ones yet. We got so much good response from that podcast. Did anybody reach out to you? Yeah. What have you heard from it?
I had several people reach out to me. A lot of people say how they were able to really kind of relate to my words, and, you know, one of my friends even messaged me from another state and said that she is suing me for emotional damage.
Oh, man.
Really relate to this story because she lost her good dog, but unfortunately to cancer. But he was also a coonhound.
Gotcha. What were you saying, Basham?
I said, I think Bryce is on the same note. He got a little teary-eyed.
I did. I mean, I'm telling you, I must just be getting weak or soft or something, because I always listen to every podcast. When they drop, I listen just like a normal listener would, so that we can critique them and, you know, hear how it sounds coming through the truck audio, where I know a lot of people listen. And by golly, if I wasn't wailing up in the truck, I'd be lying to you. I mean, it was an emotional podcast, but I think that it brought a level to Simper Dogging that we really needed to capture. I think you did a great job with that, Lauren. I really do.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed being on your podcast.
Yeah. And then, like, so for those of you guys who didn't maybe pick up on what happened there in the middle / end of the podcast, whenever we ran our Hometown Hero of the Week, that was actually Lauren's husband, Kane Brown, that was featured as the Hometown Hero of the Week. So, Lauren, thank you also for sending that in. We've been begging people to send us their hometown heroes so that we can spotlight them in the podcast. So it was only fitting that we spotlighted your husband during your podcast.
Yeah, and it was actually a big surprise to him and his family. So definitely anyone out there who has anyone in the service, submit their name, submit just something short about them, because I promise you it'll probably mean a lot more than you think it will to them.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Well, how's the babies doing? How's your dogs doing? Everything going well?
Babies are wonderful. My daughter's actually looking over my shoulder looking at y'all. She's a little confused. her dad just got back from a week in Washington State where he was visiting his family, and he actually brought back a bobcat pelt for her that she's been kind of carrying around everywhere.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Have you, since the podcast, have you had a chance, or since we recorded, I guess, have you had a chance to go and talk to some of those deer clubs and deer leases that we talked about to see if maybe you could get some permission to go hunting?
No. So actually, do you remember when we first, before we officially started recording, I told you all that I wasn't feeling very good. Well, literally for the past month and a half, I have been nonstop sick. I haven't really been able to do a lot of anything I've really wanted to do lately because I can't go too far from home.
Oh, man. I hate to hear that.
Yeah. So trying to figure out what's going on, but no answers yet.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you know anything about yourself, like you did about Rosie, you'll get them doctors figured out. They'll get you right back on the back track.
I intend to, hopefully.
No, absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on here impromptu. We didn't have this planned. We just saw you on here. So thanks for joining us for a little bit. And once again, thank you for a fantastic podcast. I know that it was well received. So thank you again.
Yeah, thanks y'all so much. I hope y'all have a good night.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
Basham.
So, I think I have just a little bit figured out on our internet issues, because when you went live there, you were breaking up a lot. And I think it's because whoever goes live, when you add somebody, they're streaming through your internet. And so I think when you bring other people on, I think it starts to break up and stuff like that. That's just something we're going to have to come up with. But, hey, guys, we want to give a shout-out kind of back to the Dog and Tuesday thing. We want to give a shout-out to last week's winners at Super Stakes. We had sophomore. We had Jordan Sith. For the juniors, we had – oh, darn it. Daniel – He's hunting one of Kevin Purdy's females, or Kevin pup off of Kevin Purdy's. I can't think of his name. Newsom, Daniel Newsom. And then for the seniors, we had Mr. Billy Bell and Scarlett again.
Hey, can we just talk about this real quick? I mean, I think that the Scarlett and Screamer matchups might be one of the most iconic stories.
Yeah.
In coon hunting since I've been a part of it.
I agree.
So for the listeners who don't know, give a brief synopsis, not a Stephen Basham synopsis, a brief one, okay? Keep it short, of what Super Stakes is, and then we're going to try and explain to them real quick what how cool it was for the Scarlet and Screamer deal.
So real quick, Super Stakes is basically a pup hunt. And so they break it up based on a dog's birthday. May 1st through October 31st is spring. And then November 1st to April 31st is fall pups. So we just had our spring Super Stakes. And so the pups that were born, you know, last year, they're what we would call freshmen. The year before that would be sophomore. The year before that would be junior. And then the year before that, which are your three-year-olds, would be your seniors. And what's pretty amazing about what Bryce is talking about is we've had the same two dogs match up all 3 years in Super Stakes.
Yeah. And in two of the years, they matched up in the finals.
In the finals.
And this year, they matched up in the semifinals. So, Scarlett. No, it was in the semis. It was in the top six. Yes, it was. It was in the top six. They went heads up.
That's quarters.
No, because the winners out of that went to the finals.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, you're wrong.
If you think so.
All right, guys, leave a comment. Drop a comment. The round before the finals, what's it called? It's called the semis, in case you didn't know.
Yes, all right.
Okay, back to what I was saying. So, this is why Dog and Tuesdays is fun, because this is so raw and uncut and unedited. And as sophomores, the one-year-old division, Scarlett was handled by John Hindman, who has won the PKC World. He has won the UKC World. John has been around longer than I can begin to put a number on. He is a dedicated coon hunter. He has been his entire life. And the Super Stakes is one that I don't think he'd won before. So as a one-year-old, he took Scarlet, took her all the way down to the finals, and ended up winning this thing. Hey, look at this. The 16-faced Basham is wrong this time, I believe. I come from Benji Kaufman. Oh, I love it. Oh, keep the comments rolling, guys. Just keep telling him he's wrong. Anyways.
Yeah, it'd be a first time for everything.
Anyways, hey, Jason Bowen's watching. Jason's not afraid to tell you you're wrong. Cora, thanks for joining us. Cora, you just missed it. We had Lauren on here. I know you and her are pals, so we just had her on here live. So thank you for joining us, Cora. But anyways, back to what I was saying is Scarlet won it as a one-year-old. And Screamer, handled by Sean Burden, placed second. Okay? Now, go forward a year to their juniors. Scarlet gets sold. Scarlet is now hunted by Billy Bell, owned by Roger Schaible. Screamer, still handled by Sean Burden. They meet up in the finals again. Screamer wins this year, and Scarlet gets second. So they'd swap their roles. Jennifer Basham commented, and it looks like Jocelyn, she said, "Hey, Dad, it's me, Jocelyn. Little the champ is on here."
The kids.
Anyways, so they win, they swap roles, they both won a Super Stakes. Senior year rolls around this year, 2024, and I'm sitting here watching the matchups and watching what's going on all week. I see Scarlet gets doubled up. I see Screamer gets doubled up. I'm like, oh man, my gut says that this is going to be a barn burner and they are going to meet in the finals again. Well, they end up drawing in the heads up round. It's called the semifinals. And
yes.
And Scarlet ends up pulling out the win over Screamer in the semifinals to advance to the finals. And Scarlet actually went on to win the entire thing. So 3 years in a row, Scarlet wins as a one-year-old, places second as a two-year-old, wins as a three-year-old. You can't write a script any better than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, Roger Schaible ended up having two out of the three in the final cast of seniors.
He did. He absolutely did. And then,
yep.
And then I made a purchase at Super Stakes.
Oh, well, yeah, we can go into that in a minute.
I'm so excited about it.
So I was wrong. It's James Newman.
Oh, gotcha.
I said Daniel Newman, but James Newman. And he was hunting Medin Loudmouth Miley.
Gotcha. Well,
that's off of Kevin Hurt.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to all of them. Jason Bowen said, is she the only one to make three finals? No, I don't believe so. Oh, gosh darn it. Clean. Did Clean? No.
No,
it's not Clean.
Lacey.
Who's the male dog I'm thinking of?
Trip.
There was a male dog that went on and made all three finals. He's a stud dog. It's going to evade me. It's going to hit me here in a little bit. Oh, Wild. Did Bill? Was it Wild Bill? Did he make the finals?
He might have.
Jason, I need you to do some research with Shane and Brian Whitted on that. See if Wild Bill made the finals in Super Stage.
I'm sure. Somebody comment. I think, like I said, me and Bryce, when it comes to my first PKC hunt, wasn't until 2015. So I haven't even been hunting PKC, not even 10 years yet. So before that, I was just a strict UKC hunter, mainly because where I was, everywhere I lived at, there was no PKC clubs. So
right.
Like I grew up in Hallsville, Kentucky, and the closest PKC club was Tennyson, Indiana, but that was about an hour away. And my dad was big into UKC hunting, so that's all we ever did. And then whenever I lived in North Carolina in the Marine Corps, they didn't have no PKC clubs over there. It was all UKC. So
right.
I didn't actually get into PKC until I moved to Evansville. But I want to say Ashley Guthrie's trip dog. I want to say he, at least 2 out of the 3 years. I don't know if it was all three. I'd have to go back and look. And then Jack, Casey Maggard and Jack Maggard, the Lacey female.
Mm. Gotcha.
I know she won it twice. I don't know about her sophomore year. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
And I don't ever seem, it's just personal deal for me, but I don't ever seem to remember the fall Super Stakes as much as I do the spring. For some reason, it just doesn't feel like the fall is as big of a deal.
It's not. A lot of, let's see here. Bill had 2 years, I believe, is what Jason Bulling said.
Gotcha.
No, the fall, a lot of times they hunt the finals on Friday night because there's so few. I mean, there's been rumor mill going around for the last few years that they were going to go back. Back in the day, it used to be one Super Stakes.
Yeah, but your age gap in dogs is so wide if you do it that way.
Yeah, it is. But just kind of going back over the week I hunted, I won Monday night, lost Tuesday night, won Wednesday night, lost Thursday night, earlies. And once again, the late round evaded me.
Didn't you tell me some crazy statistic, like you've made it to 15 late rounds and you're 0 for 15 in the Super Stakes?
Yeah.
I hate to laugh at you, but I'm really laughing with you. I want you to know that.
Hey,
I'm laughing with you.
I'll give a big congrats to Rex Robinson Jr. He said, me and him were hunting late round on Wednesday night, and he said that he's been hunting spring Super Stakes almost every year since he was 16 years old, and this is the first dog he's ever doubled up.
Man, that's crazy. It does not seem that – it doesn't seem that – I don't know. I don't want to say hard because it is hard. But it just seems wild that in all those years, like, it would take that long to do it. Ben Roberts said the star fizzled out. All right, so yeah. Your champ got on. And looks like my little champ's got on. He said, good job. This is Owen. Hi, little buddy. Glad to have you joining us here, bud. I don't know where their mom took him somewhere. So they're watching from who knows where, but it's not here tonight.
I don't know. Yeah, it was a rough week, bud. I mean, we had thunderstorms rolling in. We had a lot of water pushed everybody out of the good hunting. But, I mean, we had a lot of coons tree, especially on my cat. I think Monday night, early round, I treed 3, and then late round, I treed 2. I think we scored on 6 early and 5 late. So, I mean, just on my 2 casts, there's 11 scored and 2 cast on Monday. So, like I said, we had a couple storms roll in that kind of made things a little nasty. But other than that, it was a successful week.
Yeah, you know,
as far as
I saw some pretty good scores come up from there, and I know that water plays a big part in it every single year for spring, yeah, especially where they have it in Princeton, because if people don't know where Princeton is, it's in southern Indiana. It's right at the tip of Indiana where Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky all come together. So you actually have casts going to all three states. You've got some of them guided out of Indiana, some guided out of Illinois, some guided out of Kentucky. And yeah, all the rain that usually happens up north, northern Indiana, northern Illinois, northern Ohio, all that funnels down into the White and the Wabash Rivers. And it all those two rivers come together in Princeton, Indiana. That is where they meet. And there's not enough space for the Wabash to drain into the Ohio without stuff getting backed up. So,
and it's the same time every year.
It's like clockwork. And so if they could figure out a way to move that hunt up about even just a week, if they could figure it out, I know there's conflicts with Tournament of Champions. I don't know what it is. I don't know the answer, and I'm not going to pretend to have the answer, but I do know it's like clockwork. It'll be dry down there, and then bam, Super Stakes rolls around, flooded, and you lose a
March and April is just a bad time, and sometimes February is. I mean, it just – so about 85% of my hunting is down in the bottoms. Some years I can hunt in February, some I can't. Some years, I mean, it's kind of like last year, giving you an example of how it works. Monday night, we went down to Yankee Town and I hunted. And it was fine, a little bit of water, but nothing crazy. And then Tuesday night, we drove down there to go hunt in the same spot, and I couldn't even get within a mile. They had opened up the dam on the river, and the whole bottoms was flooded.
Yep.
So, I mean, it literally happens overnight.
Yep. It's wild. It's wild. But.
So, speaking of Super Steaks Week, Monday and Tuesday, a dog that you're very fond of didn't do so hot. So, you got a phone call.
I did.
You got a phone call. When did this phone call take?
Well, it went something along the lines of, this dog can be bought. Do you want to buy him? It was pretty, pretty short and abrupt. So for those of you guys who don't know, don't have me on my personal page on Facebook. I've been hunting this little dog called Wheels for a good majority of the last 12 months. I'd say probably 8 out of the last 12 months. I hunted Wheels, and he went back to his owner in kill season here up in November, December, January. His owner hunted during kill season. And he called me back and said, after kill season was over, and he said, hey, you want to come get the dog back and keep hunting him? I said, absolutely. So I got Wheels back and been hunting him since about February again, I guess late January, early February. And I really, really, really like this little dog. There's something about him that he and I just click together. We work. And he doesn't just work for me. He works for my family, which is a huge deal. Nikki likes the dog and can call the dog. Colton likes the dog. He can call the dog. Any three of us can take Wheels, and we feel like we have a chance at winning whenever we unsnap him. And it's not just the winning. We enjoy hunting him. He's easy to have around the house. He's a little bit of a hard keeper when it comes to eating habits. He's a very, very picky dog. He doesn't consume a lot of food. So whenever he doesn't eat as much as I think he should, he doesn't have the calories to burn. And when he doesn't have those calories, he doesn't have the fuel in the tank, it's hard for him to be hunted night in, night out, all night long. He just doesn't have anything to go. And I've got a couple things I'm getting ready to try to see if we can get him eating a little bit better and just get some more calories in him. But the point is, Wheels, I tried to buy him before Super Steaks. And I threw some cash on the tailgate one night. I went hunting with his owner, threw some cash on the tailgate and said, hey, you know, I'm serious about buying this dog. Like, I want to get him bought. And he's like, yeah, you know, just keep your money right now. I'm not going to sell him. He said, right this second. He said, I am going to sell him, just not right now. He said, but I want you to know I do have another offer. And so for a little bit more than what you've offered. I said, okay. I said, well, this is what I've got. About 3 weeks later, I got a phone call. Hey, need you to bring Wheels back. I've sold him. Okay. You know, it is what it is at that point. When you're a handler and you don't own the dog, you don't get a say in where they go or when they go. And that's something that I understand, I accept, but I don't always like. Especially with Wheels. Something about with Wheels, it hit differently. You know, I connect with him on a different level than I've connected on other dogs. And I've checked a lot of boxes in my list. Actually, here's a list right here. Here it is. We talked about this in a podcast one time, and this is going to zoom me in way too close for people to see this. But this list is all about what I wanted to accomplish in my competition coon hunting. And Wheels has been the dog that I've got to check a lot of those boxes with. So it hurt whenever he sold. But what do you do? There's nothing you can do about it. And I had a feeling that where he was going and the people who were going to be hunting him, they would like him, but he wouldn't fit what they're trying to do, which is make a living coon hunting. I just knew the dog too well. And so they took him down, and I guess he looked great for the first week or so that they had him. Absolutely loved him. You know, treed coons left and right.
Well, he ended up getting hunted a little too hard for, like I said, he just doesn't have enough fuel in the tank. And so come Super Stakes, when it was time to go to the big show, he ran out of fuel. He ran out of gas. And Little Dog just didn't perform Monday and Tuesday. And so I knew that. Like, that part, that doesn't make him a bad dog for me, seeing those scores, because he didn't look good. But I knew what happened. I knew the dog. And so whenever I got that text, actually, he sent it to me in the middle of the night, and I was asleep. And I woke up the next morning, and, you know, there's that text like, hey, do you want to buy this dog? He can be bought. That's when Nikki and I jumped all over him. Like, yep, we want to get our little buddy back. So I ended up getting him bought, you know, for the original price that I had offered the original owner. The only thing that changed and was different was I didn't get to take him to Super Stakes. So if that's the price that I had to pay to get my buddy back and get him back home in the kennel for good, where nobody can take him again. If he leaves this kennel again, it's going to be on Nikki and I's terms. And I don't foresee that happening. But at least now we have control over that. So I got him home. I let him rest for a couple of days. He needed some groceries. I knew what he needed. Got him a little bit more in the tank. And I took him out last night just as buddies. And by golly, if he didn't go 3 for 3 in short order last night and look daggone good doing it. So I'm glad to have my little buddy back. I actually just bought a entry tonight to the Pro Sport Hunt down in Brazil. So May 16th. Yeah, May 16th, we'll be down there. A lot of firsts. And see that, do what?
And see, I'm really fortunate, really fortunate. You know, I've got Buddy. Buddy ain't going nowhere. Got an amazing, amazing owner that owns him and Bruce Bartz. He's not going anywhere. And then I'm partnered up with Jeffrey and Tiffany Davis on Spot. Spot to be here until the day he dies, because you already know he don't just hunt for anybody.
Nope.
So me and Spot, we click. Me and Buddy, we click. So I understand where you're coming from, because, I mean, I had Axel and I had B, and, I mean, I've had multiple dogs handling, and it does suck whenever you get when you start to click with a dog and then all of a sudden they're gone. You know, especially for me and you, because it's a little different. We're out there we're not really out there to make a living coon hunting. We're out there to enjoy it. We don't get to go to a hunt every single weekend. So for us, it's about enjoying pleasure hunting them and being able to compete at the same time. So we form a little bit of a bond with our dogs. And so I see where you're coming from as far as, you know, it's just when he got sold, it just felt like something that you had to go get back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jason Bowen said, I got the happy text when it happened. He did. I texted him and Shane, and, you know, told him that I got Wheels back, and I was pretty pumped about it. So, like I said, Wheels and I have had a lot of firsts together, and we got a couple more firsts. So I've been hunting for going on 10 years now, and this is the first dog I've ever bought myself that wasn't a pup. I've always hunted a dog for somebody, whether that be, you know, trying to run it up and down the roads, or somebody's like, hey, I have an extra dog at the kennel if you want to pleasure hunt it. I have never bought a dog for myself. I've never spent money to buy a dog myself. But Wheels, I felt like I needed to. Just the connection that we had with him and Nikki and Colton. And then now, the sad realization is, by golly, I own the dog now. I have to pay the entry fees. I don't like that either.
Well, I think what works out for you is, you know, there for a while you were looking for a dog for Colton. And then, you know, Nikki's into it. So going to, you know, the Pink Hunt or the Women's AKC World, you're always looking, you know, hey, what can I put her behind that'll give her
every time,
you know, a shooting chance. You know, you're looking at it saying, hey, you know, what dog can I borrow? What can I do this? What can I do that? So I think Wheels checks a lot of box, like you said, for your family, because it's not just you hunting or you handling.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, in that, you had a perfect point there. I'm always trying to find something for them to go to Youth Nationals with or go to the AKC Ladies World. Something that I can put behind them. And it sucks having to, you know, always put a feeler out. Hey, does somebody have a dog I can borrow? I hate that. So now that we have Wheels, he's something that the whole family can enjoy. And I'm pretty pumped about that. So, like I said, I did just buy an entry tonight for that that hunt, pro sport hunt in Brazil. $500 entry to hunt at $25,000. I'm hoping it'll pay off. That'd be cool.
Man, Shane must be rolling out that bankroll, you know? Shoot. I mean, here he is buying a dog, paying entries.
No.
Man,
no.
Shane, I need a job too, buddy.
No, here's what happened is Bryce sold his Ranger. I finally sold my Ranger. So in order to buy my dog, I had to sell my Ranger. And that left just enough money for an entry fee.
You don't use it anymore. Since you left down here, you don't use it up there anymore.
No, I don't. And that's the whole reason I sold it was I had so much more space and opportunity to use it whenever I lived in Southern Indiana. That once I moved up here to Northern Indiana, everything up here is public ground that I hunt, the reservoirs. We're not allowed to drive the Rangers on the reservoirs. So I had this super nice Ranger, custom dog box, everything in it. And it was just sitting in the garage. Like, we didn't ride it. There's no gravel roads up here like there are in Southern Indiana. There's just nothing about it up here that I was getting a lot of practical use out of. So I've been trying to sell it for a while. And the timing just worked out where I just sold it. Wheels came up for sale. I got him bought. And by golly, we're going to go try and win $25,000 in a couple weeks.
Well, not only that, it doesn't hurt when you live in Princeton, Indiana, and your grandfather's got the keys to the city, and you can just drive down the, you know, town roads and nobody says anything to you.
I was 100% legal, and I only did that whenever there was a snowstorm. There was nobody else on the roads. Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. Is there a time I don't remember?
How many times did we load up in that Ranger at your dad's house and drive down the road to go coon hunting?
Oh, yeah, well, that's fine. You can do that in the county because they live on the county road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that it was registered as a county vehicle. I had to pay the BMV to register it as a county vehicle, and at that point, you can drive it on the county roads. Now, the city limits is different, and that's what I'm saying. I only drove it in the city limits one time, and that was during a snowstorm. That's how I got to work that day. So, but yes, no, that was 100% legal. It has the off-road vehicle stickers on it, and you register them for 3 years at a time. So that's how that works.
Never had a side-by-side, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. No, well, that's it. So you can do it on your four-wheeler, too. Your four-wheeler could be registered the same exact way.
If you've ever seen my four-wheeler, I don't think it's something you want on the road.
Yeah, well. Hey, Ben Roberts commented on here and said, you and Spot are the same. I think he's referring to, he doesn't get along with everybody.
Yeah. me and him had a conversation. When we were talking about it, he goes, man, you and Spot, y'all click because you're doing the same. You just don't get along with everybody. And I was like, yeah, but me and Spot, we get along. Like, I can love on that dog and he just loves me back. And like I said, it's a good time. Hey, we've got real quick. I know we're making this kind of a long dog in Tuesday, but we've got a couple big hunts coming up. You've already mentioned one in the pro sport, but we have the PKC Nationals coming up the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'll be up there with Buddy. Ben's actually going to hunt our up there. So a couple big hunts coming up.
Are those the qualifying nights?
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are qualifying nights. Saturday and Sunday, it's the only hunt that is hunted on Sunday. Last year, because I've already talked to Shane about it. Last year, they pushed it back, and they only had two qualifying nights. And they had the quarters, semis, and finals on Friday and Saturday. But this year, they're going back to their original way, and that is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are qualifying nights.
That's over in Salem, right?
Yeah, Salem. Saturday is your quarters and semis, and then Sunday night is your finals.
I got a Nationals ticket on Wheels last year. Maybe I should go try and get him in.
You need to be there.
Hmm. Shane Smith, this is my formal plea to go hunt PKC Nationals with wheels. If I could get that approved, that'd be great.
I mean, you could take the dog trailer up there.
Oh, man. Absolutely. So we got those hunts coming up. Speaking of other hunts that are coming up, so this was just finalized today. Froggy Bottom Outdoors, our title sponsor here, is going to be the official sponsor of the National Redbone Coonhound Association hunt. Yes. So that's going to be in Tell City this year in July. So Froggy Bottom Outdoors will be down there sponsoring that Redbone hunt. We have
It was there last year.
Yep. So we're going to be there this year. Looking forward to that. On other news, not coon hunting, there is a Borble Expo coming up here at the end of May. And those are South African Borbles. They're huge dogs. They're members of the Mastiff family. And there is a giant expo where they showcase these dogs from all over the world in Greentown, Indiana. That's coming up May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd, I think. And Froggy Bottom Outdoors will be set up there with Next Level. So we will be there with Next Level Premium Pet Nutrition. I got a hold of them today. We are going to be sharing a booth down there. So, yes, that's going to be something cool. I didn't even tell you about that yet. So, see, we're telling stuff right here that Bashman doesn't even know, right here live on camera. So I finalized that with Brandon White today. We're going to be set up with them down there at Greentown, sharing a booth with them. If you guys haven't tried out that Next Level Premium Superior Pet Food, it's good stuff, really. It's from the old owners of Victor. It's a brand new plant down in Texas. They've got several different blends. It's good stuff. People are liking it, hearing good things on it so far. So we're going to be set up with them at the Borble Expo. What else do we got going on? Anything good? Oh, I've got something I need to tell you. Let me get your thoughts on this. Actually, I know your thoughts, but I'm just going to rant for a second. So I hunted last night in my one private spot that I have up here. It's big. It's safe. I can drive my truck through the trails. That's how it's big. And I pulled in and my gut immediately went into my boots. I saw big. Yep. I saw big orange marks around a bunch of trees in there. That's the only spot I have to hunt that's private up here. The only spot. And by golly, I think they were numbering the trees, I think. I think 341 was the highest number that I saw. Oh, man. I'm not a logger. I don't know if those numbers mean something other than the number of trees that are coming out of there. But, yeah. Yeah, there was a bunch of them in there. So, it looks as if my best spot that I have will not be great anymore.
Sounds to me like you need to use your sales skills and go out there and try to find some more hunting ground.
Man, I would try, but it's hard to get hunting ground up here. I'll tell you, I have one spot. That's all I have. And I hunt the reservoir 98% of the time because I have tried to get some permission up here and people are just not as willing up here to give. Everything's broke up into small sections. It's not like down south where it's big timber. Everything here is like literally 5 to 10 acres. And they're in the middle of a field, and everybody owns it. And if you don't own it, then, you know, somebody's already hunting it. So it's hard to get permission up here. But yeah, my one woods that I've been hunting for since I moved up here, it's getting logged. I was a little sad last night. Hey, I see Alan Holding is on here, though. Big congratulations to Alan. Him and Jason Cooper and Jace Cooper had Jason Smith behind their dog Gunner this weekend at Tree and Walker Days. And they won one of the pro slams up there at Tree and Walker Days, so brought home $7,500. So congratulations to Holding Cooper and Smith this weekend.
Congratulations to John Strickland and Lady. They won Friday nights.
Yep, they sure did. And then Nick Immel ended up winning the whole thing with Johnson Creek Gabby. So awesome job. Congratulations to all of them. Nikki said, agreed. Why do you think I'm marrying a salesman? Oh, I tell you what.
Right now, I mean, if your quality of hunting relied on Bryce Matthews,
it would be terrible.
You're falling short, Nikki.
It would be. Hey, ask Jason Bolin. When we don't get to hunt very often, but by golly, when we do, we go to the reservoir. It's over an hour for him, and it's 45 minutes for me, like, to get there. Because the hunting up here, I don't care what anybody says, the hunting up here is not, there's coons to be had. But private ground is hard to come by.
Man, I don't know what your problem is. I come to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I started knocking on farmers' doors, and they were like, yes, 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 yes. I got more permission here than I do at home.
Hey, I tell you what. I got $100 for you if you can come up here and get 3 pieces of permission out of 6 that you knock on. Come on up here. If you have a 50% success rate, I'll give you a $100 bill. There you go. That's it.
Y'all can see our competitive nature.
Yeah. It's bad. But other than that, like I said, we got those hunts coming up. Congratulations to everybody this weekend. It was a big weekend for Super Stakes, for Walker Days. I got wheels bought. That's my exciting deal for this Dogging Tuesday. I'm pumped about it to have my little dog back.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know. I think I'm good on this one. Are you good?
I think we're good. Until next time, we got a few lined up that we're going to try to get recorded. And other than that, nothing big. Just now back to the grind. You know, I've got that young pup that I'm working on out of coma. Liking what I'm seeing. We'll see where that goes. And other than that, just keep dogging, buddy.
That's right. Hey, I do want to, at the end of this podcast, though, I do want to put a shameless plug out here. If anybody is a Facebook expert and can help us out with this live and internet stuff, please get a hold of us, because it seems like it takes us 5 minutes or so every single time we do this to get it to where Facebook will let one of us go live and accept the other person on here. We like doing this stuff. We like being able to have a platform where we can interact with you guys, but Facebook is shooting us in the foot every single week.
If we could figure out how to do it on our computers.
Yeah. Like I said, we're trying to do this on our phones because our computers don't work and they're brand new computers. I don't understand. I just don't understand it. So if anybody is a technical guru, Semper Doggin would love your assistance and probably compensate you for it. Shameless plug. Absolute shameless plug. We need some help over here. Thanks again to Lauren Brown for joining us earlier on this Dogging Tuesday. If you guys haven't checked out that podcast yet, be sure to go over and listen to The Written Houndsman with Lauren Brown. Have you a box of tissues next to you wherever you're listening to it, because it's a good one. It's a good one. I think it really embodies everything that houndsmen are, as far as, you know, just the love they have for the dogs and the depths and the links that they'll go to for their buddy. You know, these dogs are not just tools in a tool belt. They are part of who we are. So great podcast by Lauren Brown. Basham, I'm going to get off here, buddy. I'm going to try and get this thing edited so we can get it uploaded for these listeners who are not joining us on Dogging Tuesdays for whatever reason. If you guys are listening to this podcast on an audio platform, every other Tuesday, you join us over on our Semper Doggin Podcast Facebook group. And this is where we go live. This is where you guys can comment. You can interact. Heck, we brought Lauren on today. We can bring people on here. This is the behind-the-scenes version of Semper Doggin. So if you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening, join us every other Tuesday over here on Facebook Live once we find us a tech-savvy person who can help us out and we can get it dialed in. I'm good. You good?
Good. Hey, big shout-out to Joey Go for our other sponsor on this. We couldn't do it without him. Never Satisfied Off-Roads. Hey, if you have any needs, whether it be four-wheeler, off-road, side-by-side, whatever, go see Joey. Amazing guy down there doing great things, trying to get a good business. So go see him. He believes in us. He helps us out. So make sure you support those who support us.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, we got one before I get off here. I got to say, I got Diana Ball on here watching. Diana also works for Shane, so she can attest to everything I say on here is 110% true. No fibbing going on over here. So, Diana, thank you for being my witness during this Dogging Tuesday. We're not even going to bring you on here to talk about it. We just need you to be here, and that's all we need. So, thank you, Miss Diane. All right, guys.
All right, buddy.
We're getting off here. We'll catch you guys the next Dogging Tuesday. And until then, keep dogging. We all know that canines can take us to some wild places, and some of those are only accessible by an off-road vehicle. No matter how hard you try to maintain your ride, something is bound to break on one of your adventures. When you find yourself looking for replacement parts, or maybe even a few upgraded parts to further try and prevent a breakdown, look no further than Never Satisfied Off-Road. Joey Goforth is the proud new owner of Never Satisfied Off-Road and is ready to serve you. Performance accessories such as lift kits, portals, tires, and more can all be found at Never Satisfied Off-Road. Located in Covington, Tennessee, the team at Never Satisfied Off-Road is ready to ship parts and accessories for your ride anywhere in the country. As their new website is currently being built, be sure to follow them on Facebook at Never Satisfied Off-Road 23 to keep up to date on the hottest items and sales. Give them a call at 731-693-9921 to place your order and get your ride ready to follow your canine wherever they may take you. Are you ready for the best part, though? Mention that you heard this ad on the Semper Doggin podcast, and you will receive a Semper Doggin approved listener discount.